Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Laurel Mintz of Elevate My Brand, and today we're going to be discussing leadership. Laurel's background has uniquely prepared her to run a successful agency. For over 12 years, Elevate My Brand has served both startups and blue chip global brands like Facebook, Verizon Digital Media Services, Paw Patrol, and Zendesk. Laurel's favorite saying is, figure it out, get it done. And that's exactly what's brought the agency top talent and accolades since 2009. Thanks so much for joining us today, Laurel.
I'm so excited to be here, Julia. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit.
Yeah.
So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I'm in lovely Los Angeles, California. It's sunny and about 60 degrees here today.
Amazing. I'm so jealous. It is snowing here in Ontario, Canada. So I'm very jealous of your beautiful weather.
And negative degrees, I'm sure, like zero or under, right?
Yeah, it's cold. So what gets you out of bed in the morning? What really motivates and inspires you?
Well, this whole conversation is around leadership. And to me, it's really about my team. I'm able to have a completely diverse team, which is really exciting, especially in these times. Mm-hmm. And they inspire me to be better every single day. And then, of course, the client work is so very fun. Digital is where it's at.
Yes.
Being able to come up with creative is super fun.
Absolutely. How did you get into digital marketing?
Pure stupidity. No, just kidding. I was actually on the path, and I am a lawyer by education and background.
Interesting.
And long story short, I hated law school. So I ended up going to business school and finished both degrees concurrently, as you mentioned in my bio. The MBA was focused on marketing. And so I always had an energy around that. But long story short, I was practicing. My dad got sick. I had to step down from my firm to run his interest in a retail business. Mm-hmm. And it really taught me that I was an entrepreneur and I kind of never looked back.
Very cool. And then why did you start Elevate My Brand?
I totally blind pitched a client who needed to fundraise $5 million to launch a cosmetic line. She was a very famous makeup artist at the time. We were having martinis and we were introduced, you know, just casually. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I need a business plan and marketing model. And I was, I think, 26 at the time, maybe. And I was like, I could do that. And I charged her like next to nothing to write this model for her. And she got funded on it. And I was like, oh, I actually can do this. And
amazing.
I actually enjoy this. And yeah, the rest again is history.
That is so cool. And what do you love most about running your agency?
I love the people side of it. For me, there's something really exciting about the networking piece, even though it's been virtual, you know, as of recent. Mm-hmm. There's something about truly connecting with people. And I actually think that's what great marketing is all about as well, is what are those pain points that you're solving through the content and creation that you're developing on the client side for their target audience. So for me, it's all about the energy that I get from the people that I get to talk to on a daily basis, whether that's my team, my clients, or my greater network.
Right. And then what are the biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
I mean, how much time do you have, Julia? There's not enough time today. No, I'm just kidding. You know, the biggest challenges for a small business right now, I think, is maintaining a happy and healthy workforce. I think mm-hmm. everyone is going through kind of ebbs and flows of you know, issues around COVID, and it's very challenging to keep a team connected remotely.
Yeah.
So that is a big challenge. Although I think, and we'll talk about leadership, of course, on this podcast, but I think we've done a pretty good job of it and really listening to our people. Mm-hmm. I think the other challenge is finding great talent, right? As a smaller agency, you're not paying big agency salaries. So finding great talent, people that are committed and they see the longer term vision of the company, that's another big challenge, obviously, for us.
Yeah. Well, we're going to delve into our topic in just a moment, but if you had one growth tip for growing your agency that you could share with other agency owners who are up and coming, what would that be?
Oh my God, again, so many. But I have a very tactical approach. I call it orbiting the universe. So we oftentimes spend a lot of time and energy connecting with people, one time, right? And then they fall off the face of the planet. So if I find someone that I think is either going to be a great employee or a target client or a great strategic partnership, mm-hmm. I will put that call back on the calendar as soon as we're on the prior call. So every time we have a next point of contact, it's really marketing 101, truly is creating those touch points. Even within your own community. So that's what's helped me grow my agency, I believe.
Okay. That's a great strategy. So when you're on like a networking call or you're doing like a discovery call, you make sure that you always have that next meeting set up before you end the first call.
Exactly. And then you also don't have the challenge of, which most agency owners are also in charge of a lot of their business development, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you have that first point of contact, it's often hard to get that person back on in an email and say like, hey, let's get another call on the books. You already have it already on book. If you have to push it, you have to push it, but then they're never going to be able to kind of ghost you. That's the other great solution, I think.
Yeah, that's a really great tactic. I like that. So let's dive into our topic now. So we're going to be talking about leadership. So in your opinion, what makes a great leader to you?
A great leader is someone who is super clear about who they are, their skill sets, what they're good at and what they are not good at, and hires for the latter, and then listens, right? A listener and a leader who is, there's a concept around servant leadership, right? I really believe that I serve my team, that my team doesn't serve me. So mm-hmm. I want to make sure that they have the skills, the tools, the time that they need to get their work done as effectively and that they're happy at the end of the day as well. I think the tactical side of the execution of the work is super important, but the human element for me, I think, is what has made my team so connected and committed to the agency.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned, you know, listening obviously being a super important trait of an effective leader. What other traits would you say are really important in an effective leader?
I think being a little humble, right? I think a lot mm-hmm. of CEOs, especially younger ones, and I was like this when I was younger too, have a lot of bravado, right? They have a lot of ego around, who they are and what they offer. I think having a humble nature means that you're always learning, mm-hmm. and you're never afraid to try things that are going to maybe fail, right? And you're mm-hmm. always going to learn from those mistakes or lessons, right? I don't actually believe in mistakes. I believe in what's the lesson from what currently happened that maybe didn't go 100% right, and how can we make sure we don't repeat those behaviors, right? So that's what that means to me.
Yes. And I think also when you do have that humble essence about yourself as well, it makes you more approachable from people on your team. And, you know, it's always good to get that feedback from team members as well. And it can be hard to get honest feedback when you're in that position of leadership as well.
Yeah, I think we at my team, you know, I have a smaller team. We're 8 currently. We've been bigger before and we've scaled back, of course, with COVID and everything. But, I make sure to have one-on-one conversations with my team every single month to make mm-hmm. sure that they have a forum to have those kinds of tough conversations, that they do feel like they're listened to and that they can voice their opinion and ask for what they need to be successful here.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so can you speak to the importance of being a big picture thinker as a leader?
I think everyone wants that 30,000 foot view as well as the tactical, like how do we then get there, right? So it's kind of these two perspectives. A true leader sees into the future. They see the vision, that kind of aspirational where we can go with what we're, you know, they're not stuck in the current state of where we are. So they see the future state of the business, and mm-hmm. that's that 30,000 foot view as far as I'm concerned. What's really important is communicating that in a way that your team understands, that doesn't make them feel like you're out of your freaking mind, right? Because sometimes your vision is so much further down in the future that they can't even see it. Yeah. And also to understand that they have a space, that there's a place for them within the bigger future state of the organization. So it's about seeing that 30,000 foot view and communicating it in a succinct way to your team.
That's awesome. So what are some lessons you've learned along the way from managing your team over the years?
Oh, gosh. Again, how much time do you have? I think one of the things I like to talk about with when it relates to leadership are my fail points, right? So about 7 or 8 years ago, I had a team of 15 and I was waking up in the morning and I was very unhappy and my team was unhappy and there was just an energy, like there was just, it was bad vibes, right? Mm-hmm. We were high stress. We had some really big clients. Work wasn't going where, you know, 100%. The team wasn't connected. There was just a lot of, you know, issues that were happening around the agency. And so I think one of the most important lessons I learned was instead of running away from that, to run towards it. And so I went in, I remember so vividly, I woke up one day and I was like, I can't do this like this anymore. So I went into the office and I called every single person into my office one at a time. And I said, are you happy here? And they said, no. And I said, great, well, let's figure out a way to exit you gracefully and find someone else that can take on this role, that wants to be here, wants to do this work, and believes in the future state of this agency. And I literally turned over my entire team in a 6-month period. And because I did it, I know it was so incredibly hard, but it was necessary. And that was about, you know, 6 or 7 years into the growth of the agency. So we had hit this inflection point where we had expanded really broadly and we had these really big clients and a bigger team. And I didn't do what needed to be done to manage them appropriately at that time, both from an emotional state and from a time perspective. So I totally take the responsibility for that. I recognized the issue and I solved for that problem. And we're still around today because those kinds of inflection points are what happens to a lot of agencies, and then they fail and then they close. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's the hardest lesson I've ever learned in my entire agency is how to be human, how to lead with grace, how to recognize issues along the way and solve for them.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah. And just being able to, you know, think on your feet, pivot and then take it from there. Cause that's not an easy thing to deal with, hiring an entire new team. So that's pretty amazing. Yeah.
It was really, really scary, Julia. But the truth is that a lot of the people had been with me for, you know, 3 to 6 years and they were ready for the next step of their journey as well. And so it was just this weird, again, this weird inflection point where this all kind of came to a head all at once. But that's kind of how I am as well. Like I just ripped the band-aid. Let's figure this out, get it done, move forward.
Yeah. You got to be like that. That's awesome. So how do you balance pushing your team to grow and allow them to get outside their comfort zone without causing overwhelm?
I think software is a really great tool. Different kinds of softwares, like we use listening software, we use tracking software so I can see and have oversight into their time, project management software. So I think part of the lessons that I learned in that challenging time was that I was kind of like a very bullish leader and I was just assuming things weren't getting done. I was assuming things weren't getting done the right way or the way that I would do them. Now I know when things are getting done. Now I can see and have oversight into the day-to-day operations and the day-to-day activities of every single person on my team. I can see who put in, you know, a 60-hour week versus a 40-hour week versus a 20-hour week. I can see when the actual tasks are getting done, which means I don't have to micromanage my team. And so I give them a lot more respect and space to be successful by doing that.
Okay, interesting. I'm curious, do you do any sort of personality tests when you're hiring anyone? There's like the Briggs-Myers test out there. Is that something that you guys take advantage of at all in your agency?
We used to do that, although we used to do interviews in person. So I would ask those questions live.
Yeah.
We did just do it in our end of year meeting. We did a personality test with everyone. And it was kind of fun and interesting. I'll tell you what works better is, asking really bizarre, weirdo questions. Like we ask the most strange questions in our interviews and we've got a very rigorous process. So I interview for vibe to make sure that someone will be a good culture fit.
Yep.
And then one or two other people on my team will interview for skills, right? To make sure that the skill set that they say that they have on their resume is actually applicable and real, right? So they give them real life examples and we work through that together to determine who the right fit would be.
Okay.
So I think people's answers to questions that they are not ready for, that's my favorite thing to see. Can you think on your feet? Are you a problem solver? You know, those are the kinds of things. And it's kind of fun too. People are like, what? I had so many people respond back to me after those interviews just to say like, this was my favorite interview I've ever had. I don't know if I'm going to get the job or not, but like I so enjoyed the conversation and it was so bizarre and weird and wonderful.
That's hilarious. So what kind of questions do you ask? Like, what are those bizarre questions?
You're gonna give all my secrets away.
You don't have to answer if you don't want.
No, I'm kidding. So we ask questions that show us kind of how people process, right? So the question that I always ask is, how many elephants are there in the United States? So, Julia, how many elephants are there in the United States?
I'm going to be fully honest with you. I have no idea.
And saying that you don't know is a fine answer. But what I want to see is, how would you get that answer? Besides, obviously, Googling, right? So the thought process is, well, there's probably, you know, a zoo in every state, and there's probably 2 to 4 elephants in each of those zoos. And then there's also circuses, and there's probably 4 to 6 elephants in those circuses. So on average, that would be X number. You know, I'm not looking for a real number. I'm looking more for the process, the thoughtfulness, and that they are really critically thinking through how to answer, not what the answer actually is. Does that make
Interesting.
Sense?
Interesting. Yeah, I like that. That's really cool. Very good. Yeah.
That's one of the secrets.
Well, thank you for sharing your secrets with us. So do you ever deal with burnout as a leader?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this last break before the holiday or at the holidays, I needed, I'm sure, as much as my team did. You know, staring at screens all day is not what I signed up for, right? I am a people person. I'm on stage, used to be on stage all the time. Now my stage is a computer screen. My network is a computer screen, and that's really, really challenging. So just the physicality of having to sit and be here all day, every day, it gives me a level of burnout that I don't even know if my, you know, my team is so used to that. That's what they do. They're doing the work in day in and day out. For me, I would go to a lunch meeting or a cocktail dinner, like, you know, there are all these different, and I was traveling a lot for work as well. And so having none of that, the monotony of it, I think, is what is burning out for me. So I try and mix it up as much as I can, but it's hard right now, especially with, you know, all the new variants. Super fun. I can't believe we're still in this.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, here in Ontario, we just went into full lockdown, so.
You did. Oh God, I guess it's coming for us next, huh?
Yep. So how do you cope, you know, when you've got those signs of burnout, you're starting to feel like really tired and worn out, maybe motivation's down a little bit. How do you cope with that?
I'm a Fitbit fan. I like live and die by my Fitbit. I also have a connected water bottle. Like, I'm a connected lady, right? So I usually, when I'm starting to hit those inflection points, I can see it before it's coming. I can see that my sleep patterns aren't healthy. I can see that I'm dehydrated because I haven't drank my water, you know, for the day. Mm-hmm. And you can feel it. Like, you can just feel that it's starting to come on. So I ensure that my team takes all of their vacation days and extra if they want them. Like, that's totally fine with me. Mm-hmm. And I have to walk that talk myself. Like, my team actually has called me to the table and said, Laurel, like, go take a vacation. You're clearly exhausted right now. Mm-hmm. And we have a really great relationship to know that they can do that. To say, like, you know, you're not walking your talk. You tell us that we need to have a balanced life and that we need to take our vacation days. You haven't taken a vacation day in 2 years. Go do something, please. And I actually am. I'm going to Nicaragua at the end of the month, COVID pending.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So is, you know, leading by example something that you feel is important as a leader?
Definitely. Otherwise, you're just full of, you know what, I don't know if I can curse on the podcast, but if you're not showing up in the ways that you want your team to show up, if you're not walking your own talk, then that's just lip service and that's BS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So what are some mistakes that you see other leaders making when it comes to managing their agency?
Oh gosh. I think not hiring and firing quickly, right? I think people are scared, especially in California, which is not a very fun state to be an employer in. I think people are scared to fire people that aren't doing the work that they need done. I think, and I was victim of this early days as well. Like, I try and give people the benefit of the doubt. I was brought up to see the best in people. And sometimes you're putting on rose colored glasses, right? Sometimes you just have to cut the cord and move on. Mm-hmm. And when you're small and starting out, or when you're new, it's really, really hard to see the forest for the trees sometimes. So I would say hire and fire quickly, super important. Mm-hmm. Are there other things I see? Not knowing your worth. Again, I was victim of this very early days, not charging what your worth is, not tracking your time so that you can see if your clients are actually profitable or not, and not paying attention to your numbers. I am dyslexic, so I have a really hard time with numbers and letters. you know, kind of jumbling. But as soon as I hired a finance team and I talked to them every single week, as soon as I was very focused on my numbers, my agency grew exponentially.
Very good. That's awesome. So we're going to get ready to move on to the fast five here shortly, but is there anything else that you'd like to add with regards to leadership?
I think that just that it's an honor to be in a position to lead. I think that oftentimes leaders, like we said, they get burnout. They have this bravado and this ego, but I think it's really important to take a step back and understand how, what an honor it truly is to be able to lead a team and to be in the position to be a leader. You know, small businesses, women-owned businesses, there are, I think it's something like less than 5% of women-owned businesses hit, you know, go past the $1 million mark ever. Yeah. So just knowing that we're in a position of this kind of power to kind of turn the tables and be more equitable from a gender perspective, I think for me is really important to note and to pay it forward. So I find that it's an honor to be in this position, and I try and give my time to anyone, you know, big, small, tall, short, anyone who needs my help and my support. I try and really make myself available for us, because it's really such an honor to be in this position.
Yes, absolutely. And I love how you talked about serving your team. I think when you can, you know, just look at things through that lens, it's so much more rewarding, and you're just able to give a different part of you to your team. So yeah, that's awesome. I love that. And so what are your goals for 2022?
2022. Well, we closed our office in 2020. So that was very, very sad. I personally am working out of my dining room right now, because my husband also runs an agency. I know we're totally insane, but he's on the engineering side. So he needs these big screens. So he has the office set up that way. And I just feel very transient sitting in my, you know, dining space, not having a real office. Yeah. That said, my team has zero desire to go back to IRL. So it could just be that I end up, you know, taking an executive space somewhere. But I would love to be, again, in a physical space. Mm-hmm. My team, not so much, but we'll see what happens there. And then I want to continue hiring. You know, we expanded, we contracted. I have 100% diverse team, and I'm so proud of that. And so I want to be able to hire more diverse talent and give them the opportunity to grow and evolve in the agency world. Those are my goals for 2022. And then, of course, you know, I've got real hard numbers, because I'm, like I said, we got to take our numbers really seriously as well.
Yeah. Awesome. Do you guys have a 5-year plan?
Definitely. Yeah. I've got coaches I work with on like the hard numbers and the business side. And then I've got coaches that I work with on the emotional side of running a business too, because it's really a yin and yang.
Nice. How has had a coach affected you as a leader?
Being able to be vulnerable to that degree is very hard for me, and always has been. I think just having that lawyer mentality, having to be a boss, having to be a woman leader, you put a shell up around you sometimes. And so I've found that vulnerability is my biggest challenge. I've worked really, really hard to break down those barriers, as I hope you can see and listeners can hear on the podcast. Yeah. And that's what coaches have helped me to do, is to be really honest with myself, both around the hard numbers of the business, as well as the emotional state of running a company and being a female leader.
That's awesome. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the fast five, which are 5 rapid fire questions for you. So first question, what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I love Malcolm Gladwell. I think Blink is one of my favorite books, because it's really about that first impression, which is marketing 101. So I think there's a lot of nuance in what he says there, but ultimately it's about making a great first impression, which we try and do with our campaigns, I try and do as a leader. So I think I love Malcolm Gladwell.
Nice. And what does your morning routine look like?
I wake up, I chug a big glass of water to get my system moving. I write in my gratitude journal. It's a quick five minute gratitude journal, which is really great. Mm-hmm. I try and work out 5 to 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And only then will I try and check my emails and all of that good stuff, because I want to make sure that I'm setting myself up for success before I'm giving my energy to the work day.
I really like that morning routine. It's not too complicated, but it's like you got all the good things out of the way.
Yeah. I also have a mirror in my bathroom that I have affirmations on. So I read those as I brush my teeth.
Okay, very good. What time do you wake up in the morning?
It depends on what time my workouts are, but anywhere between 7 and 7:30 usually.
Okay.
I'm not a morning person. I need coffee first thing. Mm-hmm. Luckily, my husband knows that and brings me. By the time I wake up, usually there's a cup of coffee on the side of my bed. So I drink the water and then go immediately to coffee.
I'm so jealous of people who can wake up at 5 a.m. every day. I aspire.
I wish I could. I really wish I could. I would rather work till 5 in the morning than be up at 5 in the morning.
Yeah. Yep. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm very lucky to have a lot of amazing CEO boss babes around me. So nice. I have a lot of friends, who I think are pretty amazing. Jillian Hellman, who's the CEO of Realty Mogul, which is this amazing crowdsourced real estate platform. I really look to her. She is a boss and she teaches me every single day.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. What is your favorite online tool?
Slack. I think it's got to be Slack because it's communication. It can be fun with, you know, with GIFs and stuff and memes. And I think Slack is the best tool. And they've got all these advanced techniques through Slack now where you can like set your own reminders. I just think it's magical.
Awesome. And last question, what is one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
That everyone's faking it. And I tell this to kids because I sit on a lot of different boards and I mentor a lot of kids and I tell them everyone's faking it. Don't let anyone intimidate you because they're just figuring it out every single day like you are. They might be a little more advanced in how they fake it, but everyone's faking it and a little bit every single day. You know, I am, you are. So don't let anyone intimidate you. You can stand on your own 2 feet in any room.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Laurel. It's been really great chatting with you about leadership, and I really enjoyed getting to know you.
Julia, thank you so much for having me. I hope your audience learned a thing or two. If you need to get in touch with me, laurel@elevatemybrand.com. We've got some awesome resources at the elevatemybrand.com website, so check us out.
Perfect. We'll put that in the description.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.